Our mission is to accelerate Bitcoin adoption as a medium of exchange across Africa, starting in Kenya. So we definitely want to expand in other countries.
That was one of the big feedbacks at the conference was, gosh, we need this in our country. We need this in Ivory Coast. We need this in Tanzania. We need this everywhere. So we're listening to the customers and what they want, and we're going to try to build it.
In a continent with more than 40 currencies and high levels of poverty and inflation, what is Bitcoin's role in a growing African economy? Join us as we speak today with Kenyan startup Tando. We explore how they're creating simple tools for people to use and spend their Bitcoin. We hope you enjoy. And as a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you like the content, please remember to subscribe to our channel and share with fellow listeners, as this all helps us greatly. Thank you. Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. I'm co-host Israel Munoz, and joined with co-host Lynn Bairstow. Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming Sabina and Jason, co-founders at Tando. Sabina, Jason, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having
Thanks.
us.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. We're excited to get into today's conversation. Of course, we want to get into what you are doing with Tando that allows users to spend Bitcoin basically anywhere in Kenya. However, before that, it'd be good to kind of set the stage and also get a little more perspective on your backgrounds as co-founders. So before we get into maybe Bitcoin's role in Africa and the importance of that, can you share with us a little bit about who you are, Sabina and Jason, and how you came to both Bitcoin and start Tando?
Okay, I will start. So, hi everyone. My name is Sabina. Thank you so much, Lynn and Israel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, for having us on the podcast. So, my journey in the Bitcoin space, it started when I was in campus. That's the first time I ever heard of Bitcoin, which was around 2017, 18. And unfortunately, the way I was introduced to it was through a pyramid scheme. So we had these people come to us and they told us, give us this X amount of money. We are going to double it. And in 2 weeks, you'll be richer. And this is a very common thing in Africa, because people are not like knowledgeable yet. So some people take advantage of that. Luckily for me, I was too broke, so I didn't have money to invest in this scam, but my friends did, and 2 weeks later they had lost their money. But that prompted me to go ahead and do my own research on what Bitcoin is. So I went back to my dorm and I googled what is Bitcoin. And back then, what I understood was Bitcoin is just digital money and you can transfer it from person A to person B. And I honestly didn't understand the difference between Bitcoin and M-Pesa back then, because in Kenya we have M-Pesa, which is a version of mobile money, and it's everywhere in the country. We'll talk about it later. And it's, yeah, digital money. It's how we move money from person A to person B. So I didn't really connect the dots on how Bitcoin is different. And I didn't understand that there's a problem, or I had a problem back then that Bitcoin could solve for me. Anyway, fast forward after campus, I got a freelancing gig and it was a transcription company. My cousin introduced me to it. It's a US company. It's called Rev. And this is where, again, I came across Bitcoin, because I would transcribe podcasts that were talking about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin. So I was like, this thing is following me everywhere. It's really time I start paying attention and look for people who can help me. And that's when I came across Bitcoin Dada. It's an education platform, Bitcoin education platform for African women. So I joined that cohort. I graduated, and luckily for me, I got a job with them after graduating as their content creator, social media manager. And I would say it's in this role that I actually got to fully grasp and understand Bitcoin on a deeper level, because I did a lot of research before putting content out. And later, my cousin, he confessed to me that the Rev account, the transcription account, so as a Kenyan or African, we are not allowed to create accounts. For some reason, we don't have access to that. But Kenyan youth, they're very smart and very innovative and hustlers, so they always find a way around it. So what they would do is they used to buy identities on the black market and VPNs and all that. And guess what they used to buy these things? It was Bitcoin. Years later, he came to terms with this, and I was like, wow. So that is how I got into Bitcoin, and Bitcoin Dada played a huge role in that. And it was get paid in Bitcoin. But when it was time to use it, it was very stressful for me because I had to go on exchanges and sell it for USD and then convert the USD to Kenyan shillings and then wait for the Kenyan shillings to reflect in my bank or M-Pesa. And it was just a very time consuming and expensive process, and sometimes very frustrating because we know how exchanges can be. And so that's where I was like triggered to like, can we have a simple solution that allows us to, you know, directly spend our Bitcoin when we receive it? And I would say that was one of the experiences that led to the idea of Tando. But basically, yeah, that's how I found myself in Bitcoin. And here we are.
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, so I've been an entrepreneur for almost all my life, and I had a need for Bitcoin before it existed. I started a crowdfunding website long before Kickstarter even existed. And I just started it with PayPal because that was the easiest way to just get it off the ground. And PayPal kind of looked at it at some point and said, we don't know what this crowdfunding thing is. It doesn't make sense to their business model. They couldn't quite pin it into a category. And so they shut down our account. And then I migrated over to traditional credit card processors. And those would last for 6 months to maybe 18 months. And we'd get shuffled around to another account and constantly have to fill out paperwork and get new accounts. And then in 2015, I heard about Bitcoin. I think I read an article about it on, I think it was Wired magazine. And it said like something about unsensible payments. I said, this is perfect. I don't have to jump through these hoops of credit card companies anymore. And so just did a little trial run with the business. It's very manual, you know, sending addresses to each individual customer and getting them educated. Very slow and tedious, but it kind of worked. And, you know, fast forward to 2016, I ended up selling that company. And unfortunately, we didn't keep the Bitcoin. We just converted it into fiat because we didn't know back then. But it was a tool to solve a problem, right? And it solved the problem. And it's just stuck with me. And then I kept learning about it from there on.
Well, thanks for sharing. And, you know, you just mentioned it's a tool to solve a problem. Your original story, Sabina, I think reflects maybe some misunderstandings that are pretty typical in Bitcoin and crypto, you know, like pyramid schemes and, you know, the black market connotations. But behind all of that, it is a very powerful tool that solves some problems around the world, right? There's a lot of innovation that Bitcoin brings. I mean, it depends a lot on the demographics, the country, et cetera, right? It has multiple uses. So just kind of stripping away the confusion and going to back to the basics, Bitcoin is global money, and it's of course has some very hard and scarce properties that makes it a good store of value. But there is, you know, we are in this moment of time in Bitcoin's innovation where there's a lot of things happening both on the store value side and on the medium of exchange side. Can you both help us get a little context on Bitcoin's role in Africa? Where is the real value for Bitcoin in the African continent? And then, you know, specifically, of course, in Kenya, what's the role there?
Lynn and Israel are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where they employ their strong network of venture capital partners and startups to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, they support founders with their strategic growth and fundraising goals. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more.
Okay, so in Africa...
Can I just ask you to also include sometimes inflation rate or just with the general economic situation, if you can include that too, because I'm really curious about how impactful high inflation rates could be on the understanding.
Okay. So right now, first of all, in Africa, we know that we have 42 currencies, right? So there's a lot of friction when it comes to trading among countries and even between people. If I want to send money to Nigeria or Ghana, it's really difficult for me. And so we've seen people use Bitcoin in such areas, like for trade, and it has definitely made that easy for us. But also the inflation. So right now, I know about Kenya. In March, the inflation rate was 3.6%, but now it has increased to 4.1%. And life is getting more expensive. There's a lot of public frustration in news, or even when you're holding conversation with people on the streets or everyone you meet. Back at home in the village with my family, they all say like, oh, wow, life is getting more and more expensive. But in reality, we know that it's the value of the shilling that's going down because of endless money printing. But most people don't know this because they don't have the luxury of time to sit down and study about money and the broken system. And this is because they're too busy trying to survive this system. Like, they constantly have to be on the fiat treadmill. So I see Bitcoin playing a huge role here because Bitcoin is a better store of value for us because our currencies have clearly failed us on that. But now it's just a matter of helping people understand that. And in cases where we've seen people use Bitcoin, like you had said earlier, just like in Mexico, most people here are using Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, but as a store of value as well. But we've seen, you know, like with Tando now, we've done over 4 BTC in transaction volume since December. So that speaks volume on how people are using Bitcoin. And there's this Bitcoin circular economy. It's in Kibra, Kenya, which is one of the largest informal settlements in Kenya or in Africa as well. And they use Bitcoin for their day-to-day activities like paying rent, school fees, all that. Like, it's happening and it's real. I don't know if, Jason, you want to add anything there.
Yeah, I mean, one of our favorite stories, we went to visit Kibra, and you know, they've got a small Bitcoin education group going on every week. They hold classes on what Bitcoin is, how to use it. And one of our favorite stories was, we went to, you know, this lady, she's got a small shop. It's about this big and this tall, and she's just selling food out of there that she makes herself. And they told us that because of Tando, she was no longer afraid of Bitcoin, right? Because now she wouldn't be the one holding the bag, so to speak. She knew that as soon as she got paid in Bitcoin, she could turn around and buy goods and services from her suppliers. And so that was kind of a big unlock for us to say, okay, because people, I mean, Bitcoin, of course, we all know it's a great store of value, but I think that mostly applies to the West. But people need to see it being spent as money before they believe it. And kind of like what Sabina said, like, not everyone has the time and the luxury to go down the rabbit hole and study and read all the books and listen to all the podcasts. They just want to, you know, show me that it works. You know, if I can walk into a store and spend it and I walk out with my groceries, great. That's all I care about.
So maybe we've jumped ahead a little in the conversation because, and I have many more questions just to talk about Bitcoin adoption and usage and financial education in Kenya and Africa. But I think it's a good time to kind of step back and talk about Tando and just explain exactly what it is and what problem it solves in Kenya so that we have better context about why it's so successful in accordance to what you've just described to us.
That's a good point. Yeah, so as we explained, M-Pesa is a mobile money network here in Kenya. It is pretty much everywhere. Over 35 million Kenyans use it. So you can go anywhere in the country and spend M-Pesa. And it's just, it's basically digital money on a mobile phone. Whether it's a smartphone or a feature phone, it's everywhere. And so basically what we did with Tando is we just plugged in the Lightning Network to their payment rails. And so now you can basically spend Bitcoin anywhere in Kenya. That's like the simplest way to understand it.
Prior to that, there really wasn't an easy way to use Bitcoin. Is that correct? You had to use a typical wallet, or what was the? I mean, I also have a question about Sabina. You were mentioning there were 42 currencies throughout Africa, and how common is it from country to country to to need to exchange, and what was the system like prior to that? Did you have to go to currency exchange, or was there a common kind of underlying rail? Like in LATAM, U.S. dollar is commonly used as the interchange between different country currencies, and it's kind of foundational in many of the countries in Latin America. But what did that process look like inside of Africa?
Okay, so to answer the first part of your question, before Tando, we really didn't have an easy way to use our Bitcoin. Like I had mentioned earlier, I used to get paid in Bitcoin, so my employee would send me Bitcoin in my wallet. And then I had to go on exchange because I had to sell this Bitcoin and convert it into Kenyan shillings for me to spend it. And this cost me a lot of money because in each of those conversion steps, I had to pay a fee. And also it was very time consuming and frustrating sometimes. A lot happened. And so now Tando has, and basically, this would be like four steps, the whole process. So what Tando has done is converted those four steps into just one step. So converting your Bitcoin directly into basic goods, you don't have to go through exchanges and, you know, go all through those steps. So now it's very easy and convenient for a lot of people. To answer the second part of your question, how trade happens in Africa, I mean, before Bitcoin, I think USD as well, it's like really huge here. So yeah. The US dollars and also stable coins. Stable coins have really spread here in Africa and people use them a lot.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of, as you're going around Kenya and other African nations, you'll see a lot of Forex booths everywhere. So a lot of swapping from one currency to the other, whether it's, you know, Cameroonian currency to Kenyan, Ghanaian. And so there's a lot of just swapping. And of course, I think the way I understand it, it all has to go through like London or US banks, right? They're all connected. And so it's basically the local currency into dollars or British pounds and then back in. So there's always that extra friction. And of course, everyone takes their vig off the top. So it's, you know, you're losing money along the way. So I think Bitcoin's got a huge opportunity here to remove some of that friction. Every once in a while, we see like headlines about, I saw one the other day, the East African nations like Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya, they're trying to come up with their own, you know, internal system to do cross-border trades. Whether it takes off, who knows? You know, I think they're just kind of spinning their wheels and they should just jump right to Bitcoin and get it over with. Rip off the Band-Aid.
Yeah. And, you know, before we get into how Bitcoin and Tando is helping solve some of these friction points, I just want to make mention to a couple of things that you both highlighted, which I think are pretty important just to kind of help get a dimension around this, both the M-Pesa story, and then also you mentioned some of the transacting that you've done at Tando to date, Sabina. But with the M-Pesa, just a quick mention for, you know, maybe some listeners who weren't as familiar with that, but that was a very big innovation that happened in monetary systems. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it started, I believe, in 2007, and now I believe it's more than 90% or so of Kenya that uses M-Pesa. And then you mentioned, Sabina, that you've transacted roughly 4 BTC to date through Tando. Can you give us an idea of how many transactions that translates to? Because I, of course, imagine a lot of these are microtransactions. What's the typical transaction size?
So per day, it's around 150 transactions per day. And like you say, they are very, they're your day-to-day, you know, paying your day-to-day utility bills like transport, and buying lunch, grocery shopping, because the way we built Tando or designed it, we want people to use Bitcoin, or we want them to get used to using Bitcoin for their day-to-day, you know, payments.
You know, what is the general awareness level of Bitcoin? I mean, I look at it and I think, like, and sorry to keep bringing up LATAM, it's just my point of reference, but I think there's a lot of awareness inside of LATAM because of issues that they've experienced with economic devaluation of the money and inflation, more so than even in the U.S., where people seem to not have as much of an awareness of how what Bitcoin is, other than they think of it like a stock or something that goes up in value or down in value. But what is the awareness or kind of education level overall, would you say?
Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River. River is a financial services company that allows you to purchase, sell, and transfer your Bitcoin all through a great suite of products, high security standards, and as of recent, even allowing you to earn a Bitcoin yield on your US dollar cash deposits. For a personalized onboarding experience, go to partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin.
So for Kenya, I would say it's quite high. And I believe this is because peer-to-peer trading is a thing out here in Kenya. And also Forex trading. So every time I meet someone and I'm like, have you ever heard of Bitcoin? I don't know why, for some reason, they're always like, is that like Forex trading? So they always associate it with Forex trading. And that's really huge here in Kenya as well. And I believe this is how most people have gotten exposed to crypto or digital assets. Another thing is unemployment. So here in Kenya, we don't have so many jobs. So when young people, once they graduate from campus, you have to look for a hustle. Like you have to come up with your side hustle because employment is not an option for you. And most people, they run to crypto. Like that's how they understand they're going to make money. Like they gamble the altcoins and the meme coins. And the crypto space here or the Web3 space, it's very vibrant. You have all these projects coming to Kenya and they pump money. They hold these hackathons and they offer money to young, smart people. And so you'll find people going to build on these networks and they make their small bucks today. And that's it. Like they repeatedly do that. So you find that through all these things, they become exposed to Bitcoin, unfortunately, other altcoins as well. And yeah, that's how they get to learn. So the it's quite high, like the exposure to Bitcoin because of this. And in terms of education, there are a lot of in the Bitcoin space, we have so many education programs happening here in Kenya, and they're all free. And we have Bitcoin Data, the core. There are so many and they're doing really great work. Like I have a lot of respect for Bitcoin educators and we go on the ground. They educate people. I also do that as well. But yeah, Kenyans are very curious and M-Pesa like has really helped us. The idea of digital money is not an alien concept for a lot of people. So it's like, they think of it like an M-Pesa in a way, but a crypto M-Pesa. So yeah, you find that most people know about these things.
And I would just add that the crypto space here is very insidious, like, you know, because, you know, they can print this token, they, you know, turn it into dollars, and then that dollar goes a long way, much more farther here in Africa. And so they can hold a little hackathon, throw $100 here, throw $500 there, have all these developers come out, and then it looks like you have network activity on your chain, and then the whole and then they move on to the next country. And so it's just kind of it's gross what they're doing here, but yeah, it's frustrating. But luckily, I mean, it gets them into the crypto space, and so then now they know how to have wallets, and so it's a very easy for us to go and say, okay, you've got a wallet. Here's another wallet. It's a Bitcoin wallet. It's a Lightning wallet. Now you can live off your Bitcoin and you don't need to touch fiat and these other tokens. So it kind of works in our favor, but it is gross to see.
Yeah, that's interesting. Were you always only Bitcoin or did you venture into some of the other cryptos yourselves? Or what was it that caused you to be solely, I mean, I don't know, I guess that's a silly question because we're all here talking about Bitcoin. So, but how do you get over the hurdle of people asking you why Bitcoin only and not the other cryptos?
I mean, I think in terms of Tondo, one of the things that people love about the app is it's so simple. Like you can hand it to anyone and they can figure it out. If they know how to use M-Pesa, it's very simple. And if you just try to extrapolate and think, okay, what if I added four other digital currencies? It would just make the whole UI very complicated and unusable. And so keeping it simple and just focusing on Bitcoin only, it just makes the experience so much better. And I think that's a huge selling point. You just need your Lightning wallet and Tondo and you're good to go. You can live off Bitcoin anywhere in Kenya.
And so it's just to be clear, so it's BTC in basically, and then you're able to spend Kenyan shilling anywhere that M-Pesa is integrated, which I believe is pretty much most places in Kenya, right? And then can you speak to some of the other features of Tendo? I mean, I believe it's, you know, privacy oriented, low to no transaction fees. Can you explain some of the other benefits once a user understands, okay, I know what Bitcoin is and I would like to have Bitcoin and spend the local currency? What other features or benefits are associated with Tendo?
Yeah. So just to go back to what you're saying. So one of the issues we saw, like there was the Bitcoin educators would try to orange pill businesses and say, hey, you should accept Bitcoin. And I'm sure, as you know, that's a huge lift to ask any business who's barely making it any profits. You know, adopting a whole new payment system is a lot to ask. And so we looked at that and said, this is going to take a really, really long time to get every business onboarded. And so the fact that they're already set up to accept Kenyan shilling through M-Pesa, we kind of shortcut that whole process. So the merchant doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to know anything about Bitcoin. They just receive Kenyan shillings on their end. And so the way we see that is like, you know, we want to get the circular economy going and get that flywheel going, but it's a chicken and egg situation. And so we're kind of just focusing on the chicken, so to speak, and that is the Bitcoin spenders. And so once you get enough people spending, now the merchants know, okay, now this is, you know, 100,000 people that are all spending Bitcoin. Okay, now I'll spend the time to adopt, you know, set up my wallet, get a point of sale system, whatever they want to do. And now we're also seeing some other educational efforts called BitBiashara. She's really focusing on educating businesses. So I think between Tendo and BitBiashara, we can really get that flywheel going of a circular economy. In terms of features, yeah. So like I said, it's really simple, really fast to use Tendo. There's no transaction fees other than what the Lightning Network charges, which is, you know, 1 to 2 Satoshis, depending on which wallet you're using and network traffic at that time, which is very affordable. And that's one of the big features that a lot of the Kenyans like, because it actually saves them money using Tendo versus the traditional rails. So that's a great thing. And there's no sign up. So on the back end, we just generate a Nostr public-private key pair. And so if you ever have any customer service issues, you just tell us your public key and we can like look into your account and resolve any issues. But luckily, there's not too many issues these days. And yeah, so it's very, very fast and easy to get going. And one thing we hear people say like, when tourists come into the country, so that's another great thing, is like if you're just coming for a week, you're not going to go set up a whole SIM card and get your M-Pesa account. You're probably going to spend Visa or MasterCard, right, or use cash and pull cash at the ATM. So tourists can now come into Kenya and they can spend Bitcoin anywhere. And so it's really convenient for them. They don't have to go through the whole SIM card setup and wait in line with their passport and everything like that.
Jason, I love what you just mentioned about Nostr integration. And for our audience that may not be familiar with that, because that does provide a unique ID for each user on Tendo without having to provide your name and personal information. Can you just describe a little bit more deeply, either you or Sabina, what Nostr is and how that interplays with Tendo?
Sure. I would analogize it to Bitcoin itself, where Bitcoin is a decentralized monetary exchange network. Nostr is a decentralized communication network. So there's no CEO, there's no headquarters, it's just a protocol, almost like the internet itself. It's just a protocol, a set of rules that everyone agrees to, and there's no central server to block you from your account if you say something people don't like or ban you. It's not possible on Nostr. And so we're kind of uniting the two unstoppable systems, payments and communication, to create a tool for people to make their lives easier.
Anything to add there, Sabina?
Yeah. Actually, I want to add something on the features, what people like about Tendo. We have the bring your own wallet approach. So we do not hold your funds as a customer. That means like now you can bring your own wallet. It can be custodial or non-custodial. That's up to you. It's your money. It's personal. And we want you to make that choice. So that's another thing that people really love about Tendo.
Yeah, especially in light of, I don't know if you saw today's news, but Coinbase just got hacked and so people are losing, you know, driver's licenses, address information, email addresses. And so it's like all this stuff is getting leaked out. It's like, we don't have any of that stuff. We can't leak it out. And so it's like, I think a lot of startups don't realize like collecting all this data is a huge liability, you know, especially here in Kenya, they've got very strict data protection laws. And so if we had that data and we lost it, we'd get crazy fines and maybe even shut down. And so by not having it is like the smartest thing we could do, because there's nothing we can lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating what you guys are working on, and just the demographics in Africa are so different, you know. And I guess to that point, I'm curious, the typical user of Tando, I would imagine maybe it leans more towards, you know, the younger population, but you know, I could be wrong. I know, again, going back to the M-Pesa story, I know that a large part of the population is already familiar with, you know, mobile money. You've explained the role that FX plays. You know, people are already used to multiple types of money. So I could be off, but how advanced is the user?
Well, we don't know. I mean, each of our users is a 64 string character. It's a Nostr key. So we don't really know. We don't capture that kind of data. But from our work on the ground, it does tend to be younger, you know, the people we interact with. You know, we'll go to some crypto events, we'll go to technology events, and the people that, you know, you're going to need a smartphone, because even though technically you could pay the Lightning invoice with something like Machin Kura, that's not available yet in terms of being convenient. We do want to offer an API to them to make it easy. So Machin Kura users, which is a way to spend Bitcoin on feature phones, non-smartphones, sorry. So we'll make that easier in the future.
Maybe another way of phrasing that is maybe you could talk about the growth of adoption of Tando. So how, I mean, you just launched last year, and maybe you can give a timeline of when you launched. And I know you mentioned the number of transactions, which is super impressive for an early startup. But do you have a user account numbers that you could share with us?
We see the downloads of the app through the app stores, and it's somewhere around 2,000, I'd say.
Well, I'm sure a year from now that number will be quite larger.
We hope so. Fingers crossed.
There's some people that we don't know that are registered, because so we also, there's a web version of Tando, so if you got to use that Tando.me, and that the Fedi protocol, or the Fedi company that uses the Fedibit protocol, they have a version of Tando embedded within their community app. So you can go into your Fedi app and you open up Tando and you pay through your Fedi Lightning wallet. So it's kind of all integrated into one system there.
And let's talk a little bit about the team. Is it the two of you, or do you have, how fast is the team growing? And can you talk a little bit about what your plans are for the growth of Tando, and how you share, how you market, how you are getting the word out about Tando?
Okay. So as for the team, it's me, Jason. We have two developers as well and one designer. So that's the current team right now. We mostly work remotely as well. In terms of, so for the role, Jason is more on the technical side of things, and I handle marketing, customer outreach, training, and Bitcoin education, basically anything to do with people. So I connect Tando to people and communities. And one of the way we market Tando is, like Jason had mentioned earlier, we attend a lot of tech events, startup events, Web3 events, and just talk about Tando to people. We have, I don't have it here, but we have like our cards that we work with and people love them. And we get them to scan the QR codes, try Tando. The best thing about Tando, it's like, it's so simple to use. And once people see it in action, we love doing demos. Like the transactions are very fast. Within 15 seconds, you've received the money. And in that moment, people are always like mind blown, and I'm not even making this up. They love that. And once they see that, they get more curious. They want to learn more about Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. That is always very fascinating to them. But also word of mouth. We always get people who are like, oh, I was recommended by a friend and I got the app and I love it. But I also think it's because the simplicity of the app, basically, that has really helped us to sell Tando to people.
Well, my inspirations when we designed the app is, let's make it look, feel, smell, taste just like the M-Pesa experience everyone already knows. And so if you know M-Pesa, you can pick up this app and you can use it right away. I mean, the only thing you have to know is like, which Bitcoin wallet should I use? And you know, there's a couple of recommendations in the FAQ within the app itself, or if you're meeting with us, we'll help you download one and get started, send you some sats to try it out.
Yeah, and the best thing about Kenyans is they're fast learners and they always know how to connect the dots, 1, 2, 3, and they love new tech. I think M-Pesa has really helped us with that. So they're always looking for like the next new and, you know, big innovation.
That's amazing. And I commend you guys for building something that's so simple and kind of meets people where they are. And the hands-on approach that you're mentioning, Sabina, I think is particularly important with Bitcoin, because it can sound so abstract sometimes at first glance. And it's only when you actually use the technology that I think the power of the innovation is actually kind of, you know, felt. And you realize, yeah, okay, this isn't too different from other tools I have. It's just in a leap forward in many ways. Can you share with us a little bit about how Tendo as a company has been funded to date? I know you've received some funds from Geyser and Human Rights Foundation, but how do you approach funding the company and building out the product?
As you mentioned, we started with a Geyser campaign, and that was obviously both fundraising, but also saw that as a great marketing tool, because we had built a very primitive prototype that just proved out that you could actually do what we thought was possible. And then just so in M-Pesa, there's three payment methods: there's send money, buy goods, and pay bill. And so we built it to work with buy goods, which is just you put in a merchant's till number and you send money. And so we built out that MVP, and then we launched the Geyser campaign based on that to show that we have proof of work and this could actually be a feasible product. And then, so yeah, we use that both as fundraising and marketing to just kind of build up awareness. And then once we had the actual product, we launched a early version in Kenya and ran that for a few months. And then we learned a lot from that. And then we backpedaled a little bit to create a better version, a more robust version for the African Bitcoin Conference that was here in December. And so we did a full launch for that conference, and people called it the app of the conference. Everyone loved it. People came in from all over the world, spending Bitcoin all over Kenya. And so that was great. It really showed us some of the weak points, and we needed a lot more liquidity than we thought. Bitcoiners love spending Bitcoin. And so we scrambled to get more liquidity into the system to be able to fulfill all those transactions, but it all went well in the end. And then through that proof of work, we were fortunate enough for the HRF gave us a grant. Bitcoin Data, actually, Marcel of Bitcoin Data suggested we apply for that. And we were grateful for that grant for them. And so that's pretty much helped us. And then also just a little personal funds here and there.
I'm really curious. I love the whole story that the HRF or Human Rights Foundation is funding that. What was how did you approach them in terms of the concept of it, and what category did it fall on? Was this financial inclusion or... I think that they do fantastic work, and I love seeing the grant program that they have. And I think a lot of other builders in the space might be interested to know what that process is like and what qualifies for a HRF grant.
Yeah, I think we applied under I'm not sure the exact title, but it was around circular economies. We saw Tendo was a great opportunity to create circular economies, make Bitcoin more spendable, right? Because we're seeing a lot of the opposite of that in the US with the ETFs and everything, Bitcoin just getting locked up in these funds, and who knows if it'll ever get used. And I think I strongly believe that Bitcoin needs to be used as a tool. Like we kind of started the conversation with, it's a tool. And if it just sits in a vault somewhere, it's no better than gold. So we really have to use it as a peer-to-peer transaction medium. And so Tendo really kind of unlocks that in ways that we haven't really seen before. I know Mexico's got Swapito, which is another similar tool. And Sabina, I know you've mentioned that there's a couple other in Africa, one in Ghana and Senegal, I believe. People have like taken the idea and done similar things.
And I'm curious, when you talk about circular economies, I mean, you mentioned that right now you're focusing on the chicken, but do you have plans in Tendo to focus on the egg and allow merchant to actually receive the payment in Bitcoin at some point, or them to pay their suppliers in Bitcoin, or what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal, right? I think we want Bitcoin into more people's hands, but they're not, like, you know, education takes a while. People have to know that they want to receive this better asset. And we would love to work with them and help them. We're thinking about making a BTC pay plugin where you can accept M-Pesa alongside Kenyan shillings or Bitcoin and Kenyan shillings alongside each other. So that's something we want to work on in the future, so that when they're ready, they can kind of kind of dip their toes in the water and have both options, and then eventually only Bitcoin, hopefully, which I think ultimately where we all want to go.
You're touching on it now lightly, Jason, but you know, where are your thoughts, both of you guys' thoughts on Tendo, 12 months from now? What's the kind of immediate to medium term outlook for what you're building?
So currently, right now, we are working on implementing a new front end design for the app. So the current design is more tailored for the Kenyan market, but the new design will be more, it will be flexible and more adaptable in different African countries because we plan on expanding. We've actually done test transactions to Uganda. So that's what we are working on right now. It's the design, but our mission is to accelerate Bitcoin adoption as a medium of exchange across Africa, starting in Kenya. So we definitely want to expand in other countries, and maybe Jason can add more to that.
Yeah, I think just like you started off earlier, like M-Pesa really kind of set the groundwork for like how mobile money works in Africa. They're kind of one of the pioneers there. And so they're much more farther along. Like I said, they have the three different payment methods: pay bill, buy goods, and send money. A lot of other countries, they only have send money. And so our app currently isn't flexible enough, like Sabina mentioned, to adapt to those situations. So we want to account for that. And that was one of the big feedbacks at the conference was, gosh, we need this in our country. We need this in Ivory Coast. We need this in Tanzania. We need this everywhere. So we're listening to the customers and what they want, and we're going to try to build it. And eventually we could see, because there are other companies that have started up in Ghana and Senegal that do something similar to Tendo, we could also just provide a wrapper. So Tendo is your one app you take anywhere in Africa and spend, and just the back end is smart enough to know, okay, you're in Cameroon, so we're going to switch over to the Cameroon payment service provider, or anywhere you are.
You had mentioned that you launched at the Bitcoin Africa conference, which I have some friends that went to it and they just raved about it. It's a conference I would just really love to go to. When in the conference, I mean, tell me a little bit more about the overall Bitcoin community throughout the different countries in Africa. I mean, how many people attended? Did you see a lot of diversity in the ways Bitcoin is being used in different regions? Or what are your thoughts on kind of coming together with the larger community, Bitcoin community in Africa, and what needs do we have to solve there?
African Bitcoin Conference, for me, it's a very special conference, as it was my first ever Bitcoin conference to attend. And this was back in 2023. And, I had just gotten into Bitcoin. That's when I was still working for Bitcoin Data, almost into a year. And I had become this a Bitcoin fan, and I would talk about Bitcoin everywhere to my family, to my friends. And they always thought of me as a weirdo or like a mad person. And they thought I wanted to scam them. But then I attended this conference and I was surrounded by people who understand, they see the fault in the system, like we're in this thing together. And I just felt at home. So to me, that was very special. It was very inspiring. I got to meet a lot of Bitcoiners in real life doing great work. I was actually part of the hackathon, because they have hackathons every year. And I was with this group, they're called Splice Africa, and they were working on cross-border payments. So it was really cool to witness. And I remember Femi, he works for the HRF now, and he said that we as Africans, we should build our own solutions because we understand our problems better. And we had the Tendo idea back then, but like attending this conference is what cemented it for us. And we were like, we need to build this. And also in this conference, it's where we got the name Tendo, because we had been looking for a name for a long time. And when we were like touring Ghana, one of our tour guides, he told us Tendo about, he was talking to us about the Ashanti people of the Ashanti Kingdom in Ghana. It's a tribe, and one of their gods, so they have gods in their culture, and one of their gods is called Tendo, and he's the deity of thunder and lightning. And, it was just perfect because Tendo is built on lightning, and we were like, wow, This is great. So that conference was like, I don't know, everything was just aligning for us. So I think conferences are great. They unite you and they give you this morale to just, and they lit a fire inside you and you just want to keep pushing and building on Bitcoin and just, doing great things. You also get to meet amazing people who help you to drive your mission forward and all that. The attendance was great. I think it was 300 plus this year, right, Jason? Must have been 300 plus, like a lot of people. They unite a lot of people from the continent, and a lot of projects and ideas are born in these conferences. So I think it's really great. You should all at purpose to attend the next one. It will be in Mauritius as well, so it will be great. But I love the conferences and the quality and the conversations and everything that happens.
The thing I'd add there is that just that when you're studying Bitcoin and you start to see the potential of it and how it can solve so many of the world's problems, you really want to contribute in some way, shape, or form. But for so many of us, and me included, I felt like all I could do was just like tweets on Twitter, and like this isn't moving the needle. And then when you finally get an opportunity to like build something, and you put it out there in the world, and community sees it and they love it and they embrace it. Like, it's so humbling to be able to give back. It's like the best feeling ever. And to do it at a conference like that was just incredible.
I was gonna add that Jack Dorsey actually used Tando and he approved. He was like, "We love, I love it." So that was a very cool and humbling moment for us, by the way.
It's a major endorsement. And I do love what you mentioned, Savina, about the conference having the hackathon and talking about the innovation that was happening, because I think in a lot of conferences, they're really oriented about, on the subject of monetary use or macroeconomics. And so to have a conference that seems to have a little bit more of a focus on innovation and tools and how to improve the infrastructure of Bitcoin for use and adoption, for use in particular, I think is really important. And I just wanted to see if you could guys could comment a little bit on what is the state of the ecosystem. Do entrepreneurs in Africa communicate with one another and share ideas? Do you have Signal or Telegram groups that you get together and talk with one another? What kind of support network is there for the builders on Bitcoin?
There's the BTrust organization. They're pretty big in Africa. They sponsor a lot of educational efforts. And there's a lot of Bit devs all around the country. We attend Bit Devs Nairobi. It's the last Saturday of every month here. We know there's some in Nigeria. A lot of countries have Bit devs that are going on. There are Telegram groups, but those have to be more crypto. WhatsApp is like the major channel here. And we're seeing a lot more. It's kind of like a domino. Once you see one company, and it gives inspiration to another. And so in Kenya in particular, we've got the full stack. We've got stacking, which is, there's a company called Bitika, which allows you to buy Bitcoin really easily with M-Pesa. Saving, there's a company called Bitsako, and we can maybe talk about what Sakos are. And then Tando for spending. So stack, save, and spend. So we kind of got the trifecta there.
Yeah. Oh, we also have there's Wait a Bit. You forgot Wait a Bit. So Wait a Bit is this cafe. It's a coffee place by Eric from Gridless. He's a Bitcoiner who does Bitcoin mining. And he came up with Wait a Bit Wednesdays. And it's where we, the Bitcoin community in Kenya, we meet there on Wednesdays. We talk about Bitcoin. He also invites like newbies and we get to educate them about Bitcoin. So the community is very tight-knit and close, and we help each other out. We also have a lot of events happening, Bitcoin events that unite us. We have the Africa Bitcoin Day. It's coming up on the 31st of this month. And of course, all Bitcoiners are going to be in attendance. We're going to be talking about Bitcoin and all that. So I would say we are very united because we have to work together. Like with Tando, we need Bitika where people buy Bitcoin. We also need Bitsako where people like us saving in Bitcoin. So we need each other. So we gotta stick together. And it's Bitcoiners are great people as well. So
Inspirational, I would say, your story and hearing what's happening on the ground there in Kenya. I mean, you look at what Bitcoin is doing, and it truly is kind of uplifting communities all around the world, right? The educational component, of course, will take time, but you do see this playing out, right? I mean, it's an honest system that allows people to transact with each other, and it preserves purchasing power and removes all these other friction points. So, you know, it's just so refreshing to see and hear the perspective from what you guys are doing in Kenya. And, you know, as we maybe begin to wrap up, I want to hear from you guys. I mean, any words of advice or, you know, motivation for people looking to get involved? Because this, I mean, it's a global opportunity, right? I mean, it's open source. It's something you can just kind of plug into, right? It can be a little scary at first, but what would you say to those thinking about, you know, getting more involved with this?
I think one of the things we were really trying to hammer home here in Kenya and beyond is that, like, there's 8 billion people in the world that have this problem, right? The fiat problem affects all of us. That's every individual, every politician, every business owner. And so, you know, we all need solutions, and the solutions are different for everyone. And so, you know, if you've got an itch that you feel like you've identified a problem, go build it, because most likely there's other people out there that have that same problem, and you'll be able to sell to them. One thing that I think is particularly lacking in the space are tools for businesses, like how to do Bitcoin accounting, how to do Bitcoin budgeting, things like that. I have not seen anyone work on that yet. I would love someone to tackle that problem so we don't have to do it. But yeah, it's a new paradigm. You know, if you can kind of imagine, like, this is like the internet all over again. There's so many opportunities that came from the internet, and same with Bitcoin. You know, every company is going to need a Bitcoiner on staff doing technical work, doing financial work, doing customer support work. And so, you know, we need everyone on deck learning about Bitcoin, educating themselves so they can get their businesses onboarded. And there's just so much to build, so much to do. So get started. And Bitcoiners, like you said, Bitcoiners are so helpful, willing to, you know, lend a hand wherever they can, answer questions. So, you know, put your product out there, get feedback and iterate.
That's great advice. And I think sometimes we tend to think that Bitcoin companies or joining a Bitcoin company is only for the technically skilled, but everybody, I mean, all talents are needed in Bitcoin, from design, sure, to customer service, to, you know, just accounting, to all of these roles are going to be needed more and more. So it's a great opportunity to jump in.
Sure. I mean, you could, like, maybe one day spin off your own company. You see things inside of a company that you might have never seen before. And that shows you opportunities where you could, you know, add to the space.
Any final thoughts on your end, Sabina?
Yeah, so I was actually going to say that my friend Braden Dawn, he always says that whatever you're doing in the fiat world, you can just, you know, put Bitcoin on it. He says even if you're selling porridge or bananas, just call them Bitcoin bananas or Bitcoin porridge. And yeah, start accepting Bitcoin for your business. But I was going to say, always stay curious and be open to learning and ask questions. Also, just start whatever you are, and you don't need to know everything. Like, I feel like for me, when I started into the Bitcoin space, I thought like everyone was so smart, and I'm just here, like, I'm just learning a lot of new things, and I didn't consider myself, you know, smart. But don't feel that way. Just come in the way you are. Like Jason said, Bitcoiners are friendly. They're willing to answer your question. And Bitcoin is a very new industry, so no one is a pro really, because new innovations are coming up every day. New tech is being built every day. So we are all learning. And I was going to add, since I started learning about Bitcoin, I came up with this mantra, or I live by the mantra, living and not just existing, because I noticed so many people are just existing and they're stuck in this loop. They wake up, go to work. And I've seen my parents, my family, my aunties, they're all going through this. Wake up, go to work, work until like maybe late at 7. Then you're stuck in traffic going back home. You get home, you just want to eat and sleep because you're tired. And then you repeat that same loop every other single day. And so you don't get to experience. And this is because of inflation, like Jason had highlighted, it's a problem that all 8 billion of us are going through. And most people don't realize this. So the days go by, you get older, and that's all you do. You work hard, but your money is leaking value. And so you never get to truly experience life. You never get to go out there, travel, meet new people, experience new cultures. And we are seeing a lot of these, you know, families are becoming disconnected because they hire babysitters. They don't have time for the babies. You have to go and work and work and work. But Bitcoin, finally, it's freeing us from this slavery, and it's giving us the freedom to actually go out here and be humans and do what we were intended to do on this planet. So I would advise people to, yeah, get into Bitcoin, study. There's so many resources out here, and free yourself. It makes your life way better.
That hits very hard. So, you know, nothing to add. I think, I don't know, Lynn, any final comments?
That's a beautiful ending. Just, I guess the only thing we'd ask is just if you can kind of point people to where to follow your journeys, where's the best place to follow Tando and yourselves, and if there's any conferences that you'll be at coming up. So, just want to be sure that we all keep track of the journey of Tando and each of you.
Our website is tando.me. Our Instagram is, Our Twitter is tando_me. I think that's our like main social media. We are also on Nostra, tando.me as well. LinkedIn, Tando. So all our socials. As for me, I'm White Thera on Twitter, but you can just text me on Tando. I'll reply there.
I think we'll be at there's a Kenyan blockchain conference coming up in June 12th and 13th, I believe are the dates. We'll be there. And then we might be in Mauritius for the next Africa Bitcoin conference. And of course, adopting Bitcoin in Cape Town. We always go to that one, which is a great event.
Well, we can't thank you enough for joining us. I mean, this is our first glimpse into what's going on in the African continent. And thank you for orienting us. We really want to follow it. If you have any startups or entrepreneurs that you feel we should be speaking with, we'd love the recommendations. And that goes for our broader audience too. We always love to get new perspectives of what is going on globally. So really appreciate it. Sabina, Jason, thank you for your time. And congratulations on the fantastic success that you're achieving and for solving this important problem or challenge that's existing in Kenya today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Feel free to come visit and spend your Bitcoin anywhere in Kenya.
And everyone listening as well, come and experience what it is to life on a Bitcoin startup, basically. And then Kenya has the perfect weather. We have beautiful beaches and beautiful safaris, and you can live on Bitcoin anywhere. So you have no excuse now. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Build with Bitcoin podcast. If you found benefit in what you heard in this episode, we'd truly appreciate it if you would like, share, or leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening, as this helps others find us, which is especially important for a new podcast. And as a reminder, our content is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not to be considered investment advice or recommendation to invest in any company or asset mentioned in the podcast. Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a full-service, 100% reserve custody Bitcoin-only financial services company. For your next Bitcoin purchase, use our exclusive link, partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin. Thank you sincerely for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.